James chapter 4 and verse 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 8 is the key verse tonight. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your heart, your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. The verse that I wanted to emphasize out of this text is verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Now, many of you have been in church most of your life. There may be a few here. It's new to you. But if you've been at church very long, it doesn't take long to figure out. Preachers can think of all kinds of things for people to do. Have you noticed that? We're going to remodel the auditorium. We'll have a special day on Easter. We're going to have family emphasis. We're going to take the teen somewhere. I think preachers wiggle their toes at night. I mean, they're just thinking of things to do. And all this stuff that every time I go away and come back, my people think, oh no, the preacher's been away. He's going to think of something else. And we're going to have all this stuff to do. And we're always challenged to give more, win more souls, build your bus route, work with the children, teach that Sunday school class, build that class, keep working, try harder, do more. And sometimes we forget the most important part of our Christian life. The Bible says that God created all things. All things were made by him and for him. God made us. We didn't make him. God's not a spare tire. When you get into a problem, you pull him out and put him on. He created us for fellowship. And sometimes in our business, which most of it is good and productive, and we should be busy in the Lord's work. But sometimes we can forget the most important part of our Christian life, and that's drawing near to God. And I ask you tonight, where do you stand? Have you fallen away a little bit from his presence? Is he not close to you? Why don't we sometimes hear the voice of God? And we get caught up in our busyness, sometimes in good busyness, sometimes maybe not so much. But we get so busy and occupied, and we have all these things to do, places to go, that we realize we're not as close to him as we should be. Two Scottish preachers about 100 years ago were talking about the sad state of affairs in Scotland. And as they began discussing things, one said to the other, "What's wrong with our churches today?" And the preacher responded, he said, "I believe the number one problem is there are so few that have absolutely surrendered their life to God. They have held back so many things. There's so much they won't do. And they reserve the right to live their own life." And he said, if only we could surrender absolutely, completely everything to the Lord. He said, that's the problem. And you know, I believe that he's right in every generation. It's a difficult thing to surrender completely and totally to God. And about the time we think we have, we realize we haven't. And there are periods of life where suddenly we're reminded again, have I really surrendered everything to the Lord? I think that is one of the keys in our Christian life, is absolute surrender. Because when we give everything to him, he is all important. We realize we're his servant. We're doing what he wants us to do. Nothing else matters. So if we're interested in a bigger house, a fancier car, or better job, more money, how much more do we need? How much more do we have to be happy? It's important to realize he is the most important thing. We're here for him. And whatever we do, we should be doing to please the Lord. So why is it sometimes we have trouble? Why is it that we're not as close to him? Why is it sometimes we don't hear the voice of God? I need a volunteer. What? Thank you for volunteering. Come on up here. Now, that's not anything personal, but you're going to be just a believer, and I'm going to be God. All right? I would turn it around, but I just don't think it'd be appropriate. So you're going to be right there. You're the Christian. And I'm going to be God. All right? I want you to take a step, one step toward me. Now, what does the Bible say? Draw near to God. He draws near to you. Does that make sense? Take another step this way. Draw near to God, and he draws near to you. Take a step backwards. Would the opposite also be true? If you fall away from God and you're farther away, he'll be farther away from you. Oh, thank you. You did a great job. I don't know where you learned all that acting skill. There's a simple truth in the Word of God that if we have the heart and desire just to be closer to God, God will in turn draw closer to us. Now, that's significant. That means something. To be able to have God present in your life gives you peace in your soul and your heart. It means there's a blessing in your family and your job, your work, and your home life, in every aspect of our lives. We can see the blessing of God. But most importantly, we're pleasing him. If all we did is live on this earth and just keep thinking we got to produce, we got to do this, we got to do that, we will have missed the most important thing, and that is being close to him. Why is it then that people are too far from God? Why are they not close to him? You know, and this is simple truth, and I don't mean to be redundant, but they are just simply too far away. If you're not close to God, the problem is you're too far away. You need to get closer. So why are people too far away? Because they're not reading their Bible. They're not faithfully in the Word of God, learning and growing from the Word of God. This is an amazing thing. I've been pastoring for 42 years, and I started preaching before that. I'm still saying the same thing that I said 42 years ago, this simple truth, read your Bible. Why do preachers keep saying that? Why do we keep emphasizing that? Because it's a struggle. We tend to get back in the flesh. We tend to, I can do this my own power. I got so much to do. I better get busy. And we forget God. We're too far away. That's why we're not close to him. We have to be in the Bible. We have to spend time in prayer. Think about this for a second. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, what did he do before the temptation? He fasted for 40 days. And it doesn't say this, but no doubt he spent that time in prayer and fasting. When he came to the Garden of Gethsemane, what do we see him doing? Just prior to that catastrophic event in history of the crucifixion, what was he doing? Praying. He had the disciples with him, and then he took the inner group, and they stopped, and they stayed there, and then he went a little further, and it says he fell on his face, and he prayed. He came back, and he said, what? How come you're asleep? You couldn't watch 1 hour? And I assume he prayed an hour or close to it. You couldn't stay awake 1 hour? But he was praying for an hour. Now, it's late at night. It's probably, if you follow the chronology of this, it's probably 10 or 11 o'clock at night. He comes back and he prays again. He goes back again, probably for another hour. It had to be after midnight, maybe 1 o'clock or even later. By the time he comes back the third time, he said, now the time has come. When we face temptation, here is the consistently what people ask. Pastor, do you know a good Christian psychologist? And they're sincere, and I'm not berating anybody for thinking that way. But what do you think a Christian psychologist is going to do? What answer does he have? What does he know that you can't find in the Word of God? Well, he's trained. Now, I minored in psychology in Bible college, believe it or not. And here was a conclusion that one of the professors came up with. Psychology technically does not have any answers. And if you think about it, it's the study of the mind. It's just a study. All it does is observe behavior. any conclusions you come up with really come from the Bible. Bible has the answer. And there are times when people will come with just heartbreaking stories, heart-rending stories of their family falling apart, a divorce, someone is addicted to drugs, or someone is overdosed, and they come with severe problems. And sometimes I'll say to them, I think this kind goeth not but by prayer and fasting. I really believe their answer is getting alone with God and spending considerable amount of time in prayer and fasting over that. And you know what? People generally don't want that as an answer. And then they're looking for another solution. The truth is, none of us really want that answer. What we want to do is take a pill and now we're better. We're happy. Everything's okay now. But to be able to get alone with God is how we draw closer to God. Through those hours of prayer, we're not so far away. By getting in the Word of God, we're not so far away. Whenever you read the Bible, and you should read the Bible, we all should read the Bible faithfully, consistently. But there are some times it seems to have more meaning than others. And I'll tell you, the times that it's more significant than others is when we're going through trials. Suddenly we realize, oh, I need something. God, show me something in the Word of God. God, help me through this tragedy, trial, or problem. Jesus is a pretty good example of how when he faced a trial, he spent time in prayer, and I believe it's an example for us if we face temptation. I think you could even suggest those in addictions, those struggling that can't seem to gain victory, perhaps there's an answer found more in prayer and fasting than taking pills or seeking counsel. If we spend time in prayer, we can overcome those addictions. Why are we too far away? No Bible reading, no prayer life, no meditation. I think another reason we're too far away from God is we just have no real spiritual interest. We don't talk about God. We don't think about God. Maybe you come to church even, and yet when you're away from church, there's no thought or consideration about God. It's sad to say, but when my sister's here, she can verify my escapades. I was more interested in my car and other things than I was interested in the things of God. And you know, it's an amazing thing how a young man thinks, if I get a car, utopia. It just, a car is an answer to all ill. If I get that car, that's the greatest day of my life. And then you get the car and you find out it takes money to operate. You have to pay for the gas. You have to pay for the insurance. You have to pay for the damage repair. It's expensive. And then it breaks down. You turn the key and it doesn't start. A car is not a blessing, it's a curse. You thought it answered all ill. That's the greatest day of my life when I got that car. And sometimes it was the greatest day in your life when you got rid of it. But I think if I get a car and I've got to have a job to get a car, and your life revolves just around that, you're not really that interested in the things of God. Well, you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend and you think, boy, this is the greatest thing in the world. I want to be with her or him, and man, this is exciting. And that takes precedent over God. How many lives have been ruined because of poor relationships with the opposite sex? There are many. And why are we not close to God? Because we're too far away. We're not showing any spiritual interest. We're just living our life the way we want to live it. Do our thing. We get caught up in a job and we're so busy we don't have time for anything else. And the job, and as a young family, you know it takes a lot of money to live. Have you noticed that? It seems like it's hard to catch up with everything. And about the time you think, finally, I'm getting my head above water, you got to pay your income tax. Finally, I'm getting my head above water. Now something broke down, got to fix it. Now I got an unexpected bill. It takes a lot of money. It's not easy. It's not easy. But if we're not careful, that takes the place of God. And we lack spiritual interest, and we're just too far away. That's why we're not close. Or it might even just be something like a hobby. You know, there are a lot of hobbies you can get involved in today. It's amazing to me, things that people get involved with. You know, there's an unbelievable amount of sports. There's all kinds of, I love sports. But there's so many things that people get involved in, that becomes all-consuming. And one of the things that has happened in my lifetime is a lot of it's on Sunday. You can get involved on Sunday with children, the Little League or soccer or lacrosse or cross-country or whatever. There's all this stuff to get involved in. Where people get involved with hunting, fishing, and the Lord knows I love all that. But I don't love it on Sunday when we have church. So people get so consumed with all this. This is everything. And they're so far away from God, they're no longer close to God. People even have hobbies where they stay at home. They can knit and they can, you go on Pinterest and you get all the stuff and crafts and quilt making and pillowcases and I don't know, all the stuff that, not sure what all is. But you're so busy and all that, that you do not have time for God. And you're so far from him, you're not close. So it says that we draw nigh to God, God draws nigh to us. We ought not to wait for trial and tribulation to draw near to God. We ought to do that all the time. And just ask the question, where do I stand? Am I close to God or am I far away? Second thing that we see in our verse says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Cleanse your hands. Another reason is we're not close to God is because we have dirty hands. That doesn't mean that our hands are dirty. My hands may be dirty. We've been cleaning, preparing to move. You know, my parents moved once before. They moved 4 miles. This time, 50 feet. That's better. So y'all want to help tomorrow, come on down. But I'm probably... dirty hands. That's not what I'm talking about. You know, you go out in the farm, you know, you take care of the chickens and the pigs, and, you know, you get pretty dirty. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about things in your life that taint your soul. And when sin comes into our lives, it keeps us away from God. You would think when we sin, we would say, man, I've got to get back to church and get right with God. But what we tend to do is, I don't want to go back to church because I'm embarrassed. I'm afraid. I don't want to have to face anybody. And so we get farther and farther away from God because our hands are dirty. There's sin. There are sins of the youth. There are, without a doubt, things we're more prone to, more problems, things we can encounter. We got to be careful. All those things can draw us away from God. Do we have that spirit and attitude to say, you know, God is number one. I want him to be first place in my life. I had a friend in Bible college that he got a car for the express purpose he wanted to bring people to church. That's why he got a car. And that was the main thing. He brought people to church. He saw people saved and he brought them to church. See, there's nothing wrong necessarily with having a car, and we all have to have a car. But his purpose was he wanted to take people to church. So a lot of it comes back to our attitude and our spirit. You know, we can even go the other direction where we do nothing, just laziness. I remember a family that the lady came actually to the first service we ever held. She had all 3 children after she came. Her husband never came, and he was a nice guy, but not spiritually inclined whatsoever. We never got anywhere talking to him, but the kids were growing up. They were all teenagers. The kids had gone to our Christian school, and they were going through a divorce. And, you know, that's never a good thing. I don't think anybody would ever say it's a good thing. but there's seemingly nothing we could do about it. But one of the children, a boy, there's two girls and a boy, here was his response. He found out that the parents were going to get a divorce. Here was his only response. Dad's not taking the TV, is he? Think how sad that is. That's what mattered to you? How can anybody be close to God and you're worried about Dad taking the TV? Sometimes we just stay at home, do nothing. You know, there are people, that's all they do, nothing. They're busy doing nothing. And I marvel at how much time people can waste just doing nothing. They have no initiative. They have no plans. They have no future. They have no goals. They're just doing nothing. How can you be close to God when you're lazy? You can't be. And, of course, worldliness keeps us away from God. You know, there's always the world, the flesh, and the devil that draw us away from God. But the world is a very real exposure to us. We live in the world, but we're not to be part of the world. So there are, you know, you go to camp. And the kids here I know go to camp. You go to camp, and anybody that has any rebellious spirit, within 5 minutes finds anybody else that has a rebellious spirit. And they didn't even know them, but they find them. They flock right to them. Why? Because of worldliness. They're caught up in the things of the world. You know, it's a hard thing to define worldliness. We all know what it is. We all think we can do it until you try. You try to define it, it's a very difficult to define. But it is a tendency to follow the direction of the world, the government around you, the social culture around you, rather than God. And it's living a life more humanistically apart from God. So the worldly effect for all of us is probably greater than we would even admit. Through the internet, our smartphones, obviously through television, but even billboards, magazines, the influence of clubs and organizations, we're bombarded all the time. The world is pulling us away. And if we're not careful, it'll draw us away from God. There's sometimes we just have to say, look, I'm not interested in that. I've got too much to do. I'm busy serving the Lord. I'm reading my Bible today. I'm not worried about how many phone messages I have. And I'm shutting the phone off. Worldliness. And there are sins of the flesh that keep our hands dirty. There are things that we get involved with, and we'll not enumerate all of them. We all probably are prone to something, whether it be anger. You know, I read an article by a pretty well-known evangelist, and he goes around and holds a lot of conferences, and he's written like 10 books all on anger. And I thought, wow, I didn't know that was that big of a problem. But evidently it is, if he wrote all those books on anger. But that's another thing that keeps us away from God. And bitterness. I'll not forgive them because of what they did to me. You know, you've only hurt yourself. You're not hurting them. You're hindering your relationship with God. Whenever we hold on to some hurt, some offense, all that does is keep us away from God. Our hands are dirty. And sometimes we have conflicting ideas in our head, strange ideas. He said in verse 8 again, the last part says, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Sometimes we'll debate things that we should not even be debating. We think, you know, you think this is all right, and you know, we can't seem to discern right and wrong. And we're debating about what we should do. I think one of the things that sometimes we have strange ideas about is money. You know, are we going to pursue money or are we going to pursue spiritual rewards? How important is money to us and how important is treasure in heaven to us? So we start thinking about this and we think, you know, man, if I just had this much money, and I'll tell you, if I just won the lottery, man, I would have all this money and I'll give half of it to the church. Yeah, you're a liar. You didn't have any money, you're going to give half the church. You think God's going to bless that? No. We have these strange, people have strange ideas in their head. They're double-minded. They're trying to figure out what to do. Sometimes in boyfriend-girlfriend relationships, they're double-minded. And they can't figure out right and wrong. Sometimes about education. Sometimes, I mean, there's so many different things that go through our heads, particularly a young person, that they can't figure out which way to go. Here's a real simple thing. If it's not drawing you closer to God, you know what's doing? It's drawing you away from God. Every time I counsel a couple for marriage, one question I always ask, are you better because of this relationship? Are you closer to God because of this relationship? And if you're not more spiritual because of this relationship, what that means is it's drawing you away from God, not to God. A good relationship will encourage, each will encourage the other spiritually. They will draw one another closer to each other and to God. It all goes together. And so we are so far away from God because we can't make up our mind about what's right and wrong. And there's a simple evaluation. If it's not drawing you closer to God, it's drawing you farther away. You go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. There's so many things that are foundational just in the first three chapters of the Bible. It's absolutely amazing. But Satan comes along and tempts Eve, and Eve starts thinking, you know, maybe we will be better if we take of this fruit. Maybe we will be smarter and more holy and just better. Maybe we will be. Maybe she was sincere, but she was wrong because she disobeyed God. You know, God always keeps something for himself. And that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was for himself. And when man partook of that, he had to take him from the garden so they'd not eat of the tree of life and continue in that state. Man died right on that spot. Had they not done so, I believe they would be alive today. I think death started or began the moment they sinned. There were conflicting ideas in her head. She couldn't figure out what was right and what was wrong. And sometimes we lack that discernment. Wisdom cries out in the streets in Proverbs. Wisdom is seeking, calling. But there's also a strange woman that's calling out. There are voices in every direction. And people will pull at you, things of the world. Satan will implant things to pull you away. It's important to concentrate on the right voice, to listen to the right people. Listen, young people, your parents are not perfect. They've made mistakes. They had to grow up. They had to learn. But they know more than you know. And we don't listen to their voice, you're missing an important part of your life. It's important to heed, to listen to the right voices. Brother Ross, I had people tell me years ago that say, all those people at the church, they just follow the preacher. They just do whatever he says. Have you found that true? I've never found that true. People come sit in my office and they want to know, preacher, what do you think about this? And I tell them and I say, thank you, I appreciate that. And they go do something else. People have to learn to listen to the right voices. You want to know how to have a home that's happy and godly? Why don't you ask somebody that has a happy home? Why listen to somebody that's cantankerous and angry and upset? Why listen to their counsel? You're listening to the wrong voice. Listen to someone who knows what they're doing. Listen to someone who has some godly advice. Are we close to God? Now, the truth is, we can all come to the altar tonight and say, you know, I need to be closer. I realize that. We all need to be closer. But what direction are you going? Are you drawing closer to God? We had a preacher at our missions conference this year who is 85 years old. And I didn't ask him this, but we were just talking. He said, "Preacher," he said, "I can honestly say I've never been closer to the Lord than I say I am right now." At 85 years of age, still growing, still learning. Nothing's changed in that regard. He's going the right direction. We had a funeral last year for a man who is 87 years old. What a blessing. What a blessing. And he was learning Scripture. He was quoting and memorizing Scripture right up to the end. He said, "Where did he get that idea?" He got the idea from a guy who was 95 years old. He was memorizing Scripture till he's 95 years old. Drawing closer, closer to God. You don't have to be old and decrepit to start memorizing Scripture. You can start when you're young. But which way are you going? Are you walking away from God, further into the world, further into the things you think will make you happy? Or are you drawing closer to Him through the Word of God, through prayer, dealing with all these issues that come into your life, listening to the right voices? Which direction are we going tonight? Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You that You loved us, for the forgiveness that You have provided for us and the salvation that we enjoy. We are not worthy nor deserving. And Lord, I do sense tonight that I should be closer to You. And I'm sure there are many tonight that would say, "Yes, I need to be closer to You." But perhaps there's someone who is not only not as close as they should be, but they're drifting farther away. Maybe no one even knows, but You know. In Your heart, You're drifting away. Oh God, we pray that You would work in that person's heart. May they see Your love. May they see that You are the most important thing in their life, the most important person in their life. May they turn to You tonight for help. May they repent of that sin. May they ask for Your help and seek Your help. We ask that You might bless in the invitation and speak to every heart. And if there is one that's not saved, not truly a Christian, I pray Your Holy Spirit would draw them to Yourself, that they would be saved tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.